our Prime Minister is going, by the way, girly pops, I did try, but someone wouldn't let me.
A listener production.
This podcast is being recorded on Gadigal land. We pay our respects to the traditional custodians of this country and elders past, present. We extend our respect to any First Nations, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people joining us today.
Feeling anxious today. Chucky's got thrush. So, old mate, I was about to call, say his name. Old mate's left to go overseas for work.
My boyfriend.
And I literally woke up with thrush and I'm going, my body is only healthy when he's around. That's crazy. You know, they say like, well, I said in my live show, your poussoir always knows. It knows, but it knows when he's away. It's like acting out on me. It's going, get him back here. Anyway, I had my canister and hopefully it'll be resolved. But on the weekend, there were the rallies to demand action for violence against women. And I went, obviously. It was good, the actual rally itself. But Anthony Albanese spoke at one of these rallies. These rallies were organised by What Were You Wearing? And Sarah Williams. And here's the thing, Chookies. I have a complicated relationship with Anthony Albanese, and that relationship is becoming more and more strained. It's becoming more and more dire. When Anthony Albanese was elected into Parliament, there was a lot of hope. I remember crying from joy when he was elected in because we were going from Scott Morrison. But unfortunately, what we're in right now is a situation where your ex was so shit and then you find someone kind of mediocre, medium nice to you and you go, wow. This is it for me. I'm excited. And time goes on, and the more you get to know them, the less you like them. And that is what's happening with Anthony Albanese. Anthony Albanese is the mediocre new partner that you have after a really shitty relationship. And I'm sorry, Anthony Albanese. I really had hopes for you, my king. But unfortunately, you've let us down time and time again. Firstly, with not speaking about Palestine properly and not condemning the actions of Israel. That was a bad time. With that, that was, unfortunately, not shocking for a Labor Prime Minister. And unfortunately, that was in the line of the policies of the Labor Party. Would we have loved him to have an aggressive stance? Yes. Should he have? Absolutely. But he kind of said nothing, right?
Yeah. Well, at the beginning, but it was just anything that he said was a bit too late. And it was just breadcrumbs.
It was, in the words of Jojo, too little, too late. That's a thing.
Yeah.
And he also, it was giving hypocrite because he'd gone to pro-Palestine rallies previously. So obviously he knew about the issue. It wasn't like he was like, oh, I didn't realize. It's like you were at the pro-Palestine rallies, babe. What are you talking about? That was disappointing, okay? That was really fucked. So on the weekend, should we play the clip?
To be clear, we did ask to speak, myself and Katie, and we're told that that wasn't possible, and that's fine. I respect the organisers' right to do that.
That's a full-out lie.
To do that.
So he's saying that he asked to speak, but then he was told that he couldn't speak.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, I don't understand why he felt the need to do that. I think regardless of any miscommunications or any, maybe I don't know what the fuck happened there, but regardless of any miscommunications, why is the first thing Anthony Albanese is saying is defending himself as to why he wasn't there to speak? I understand why at a rally for violence against women, our Prime Minister is going, by the way, girly pops, I did try, but someone wouldn't let me. It's like, calm the fuck down, dude. Also, why are you yelling? I feel like in that environment, it's not the place for a man to be aggressively and snarkily yelling at women or the organisers of this event. It's like, read the fucking room, dude.
Yeah.
When I first saw it last night, I think that the Sarah chick, she's wrapped up in it. She's obviously got a lot of attention from this. And I actually think it's like, you know what? He's fucking there talking to the audience. Yes, he looked at her and saw her crying and he continued to carry on. I think that's a bit weird that he knew that he was defending the fact that it's a lie. I did want to speak. And he's saying that, no, we heard that you weren't going to speak.
I just feel like if we're going to have a male prime minister come to these things, he's meant to be our, like, he was meant to be our, like, safe place and our, like, cool prime minister who DJs and, like, doesn't he DJ? Like,
yeah.
Why are you coming to a women's rally? Also, as the head of the government, you're saying, and all government levels need to do better, including my level of government. It's like, here's the thing. You've run a campaign on left-wing politics saying that you are completely different from Scott Morrison. Even if it is true that he didn't get the message that he was asked to speak, why is that your focus? And I think it's his focus because he feels the next election slipping away from him. But it's because of his inaction in terms of policies and, like, general ideas and politics that the left align with. And that's how he got in. He got in because everyone wanted to get the fuck away from right-wing weirdo Scott Morrison. So everyone was going, well, he's our antidote. We've got Anthony Albanese, raised in housing commission, by a single mother. He goes to pro-Palestine rallies. He's pro-LGBTQI+. It was, like, revolutionary when he got in. I think that's the thing we're all forgetting, is the reason why everyone is so disappointed is because he was our kind of last hope, or one of our biggest hopes to have as prime minister. And he too has succumbed to the fuck structures of parliament and the way that Australia at its core is a very right-wing conservative place to live. So at the end of the day, no matter who the fuck is prime minister, unfortunately, they know that Australia is a conservative place. They don't want to upset anyone too much either way. But this rally has shown how fucking angry women are. And I think that it's kind of a snowball effect of all of his previous hypocritical actions and him continuously letting down those communities that he promised that he would serve and protect. And that there was kind of an assumption that he would serve and protect them. And this is kind of, I think this is the beginning of the downfall of Anthony Albanese, which is so disappointing because I literally cried from joy. I just feel like you can't base your campaign aligning with almost, like, his campaign and what we all kind of expected him to be was to be the most left-wing prime minister ever. Like, that's what I thought anyway. I thought it was going to be almost a Greens level of being left-wing. All that's happened is he's let us down time and time again. And I just think that this is why people are so angry at this clip. I think that it's, by itself, to be so aggressive and defensive at a group of women at a rally against violence against women. I think people have been saying, like, read the fucking room, very tone deaf, very bizarre reaction. Sarah, the organizer, starts crying. He doesn't stop. He doesn't realize how aggressive he's sounding. But it's also, it just sounds like bullshit politics saying, and we're gonna do better. What the fuck are you gonna do? What the actual fuck are you gonna do? Like, this is a societal issue. Like I said in the podcast a couple of weeks ago, it's like, this is about educating men from when they're younger, putting money into having a designated task force or some sort of support network or something for women who report things early. When we report things that are coercive control or that are stalking or that are verbal abuse. There's nowhere to go. I said in my TikTok, I would get death threats a lot, like a couple of years ago, from those weirdo anti-vaxxers. I was getting death threats with my address in them. And I'd call the cops. And I'm like, I'm a woman living alone in a house without cameras. And they have my address and my floor plan has been published online. And I've gotten multiple death threats detailing my strangulation and detailing how they're going to murder me. And it's going to happen when I least expect it. And they're going to wait to murder me. So I just wanted to flag with you guys, if you could just be aware that if I call you, if you just come quickly, if someone comes to my house, if you just come quickly and act like it's a murder. And they laughed at me and said, just block the person. So it's like, there are so many stories of women trying to report domestic violence in its early stage, quote unquote early stages, like when coercive control is happening, when there are red flags happening, trying to report stalking and harassment, even in terms of in workplaces. We've heard it a million times on the fucking podcast, people calling in and being like, this really crook thing happened. What can I do? Even that story about that fucked psychiatrist that we had. Basically, for those of you who missed it, one of the people that called in for a nightmare fuel said that a psychiatrist asked her to do the splits and show her. Even that, we couldn't figure out where the fuck to report that to. If you reported that to the police, I'd go, okay. Like, for these stages where there is a chance for early intervention, there is nowhere to report it. And all women know this. So we don't even bother. Like, honestly, we don't even fucking bother. People commented on my TikTok being like, could you report it now? Could you lodge a report? And I'm like, that was 3 years ago. Things happen all the time now. And I just don't bother. Why would I bother? I probably should. But what's happened to me, to my friends, to people I see online, to the women who were murdered, is they try to report it and nothing happens. So what's the point? Also, fucking restraining orders do shit all.
That's so true. The bail
laws
and everything.
They do fucking shit all. Put a fucking anklet on them. Like, why the fuck is a piece of paper for an AVO all an AVO does? I mean, yes, it can help. I understand. If it helps in your instance, I'm so happy for you. All an AVO does is have some sort of, it's like a warning shot, but a warning shot can result in someone getting angrier and more defensive. And the people you're dealing with when you are lodging an AVO aren't reasonable, normal people. They are already pushing their own boundaries and your boundaries. Why would they not push the boundaries of the law? They can still come over. They can still come and murder you. That fear doesn't go away. All it does is make them an angrier, scarier beast. And then what happens is they do a counter AVO and you go, oh, fuck, all right. Like, all it does is make them angrier. There needs to be some sort of, I mean, ideally a task force, but fuck me. Like, why is there no place to even report this? My mum said on the weekend to me, we got a phone call about it, and she said all early reporting does and all AVOs do is help in the murder trial. All they do is prove that this is the person that murdered you. That's all they do. Like, realistically, they are a piece of fucking paper. There needs to be stronger laws in place. There needs to be stronger punishments. It is just it's not even a slap on the wrist. It's a warning. It's a verbal gentle parenting warning, an AVO. It's fucked. It's so fucked. Also, the fact that to get an AVO, you have to have such a high level of extreme. You can't just say this person was coercive, controlling me and verbally abused me. You have to have evidence of consistent threats. I don't know if you guys have seen Baby Reindeer. Have you seen Baby Reindeer?
Oh, my God. I'm obsessed.
Everyone's talking about it, though.
You got to watch it. You got to watch it. But it made me angry because, and also, made me angry in the way that when he goes to report it, the police are like, well, if you don't have any actual threats against you, we can't do anything. I then saw a TikTok yesterday of this woman who was in a hotel room and she got out of the shower and on the screen, someone had drawn with their finger, there's a camera behind the mirror. And she called the police and they were like, well, unless you're actually threatened or physically hurt, we can't do anything. So these vaguely, quote unquote, vaguely threatening behaviors, such as harassment, stalking, coercive control when you're in the relationship, also just kind of knowing how someone is. And also a lot of this threatening is done verbally. It isn't written down, so you have no evidence for it. There's no early intervention. There's no chance for early intervention. The options are put up with it and deal with it and tell your neighbors that if they hear screaming to call the fucking police. Or when you get physically harmed, hope that it isn't too much so that you'll be alive to call the police and get this person maybe put away. That's kind of the only options at this point. So what I'm saying is, in terms of Anthony Albanese, you can stand there and you can say, oh, we need to do better. But there's no actual specific tangible plans put in place. Now, there is going to be a national cabinet meeting on Wednesday.
And that Albanese called as well.
That Albanese called and he said in his tweet, he said, women in Australia deserve better. Governments have to do better. And as a society, we have to do better. That's why we will be convening the National Cabinet with one issue on the agenda. Immediate, meaningful and practical action to address family violence.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, I understand, like I was saying, they're trying to not make any one group angry and they're trying to not lose any votes in an extreme way. They're trying to like placate all sides.
So
and
true.
I guess the argument also is that if you say it's for violence against men, then that might put off men that may have been willing to listen, that may have been centrists and not, and maybe, oh, well, why are we under attack? Now is not the time to be pandering to male fragility. Like, now is not the time to do that. I understand why maybe his social media team thought that was the correct way to describe it, but that's also factually incorrect. Someone that you are casually dating is not family violence. a random person in a shopping centre stabbing six women and killing them, five women and one man, and killing them with an agenda of killing women is not family violence. Family violence also is kind of like a crime of passion bullshit. It's adding language that kind of takes away responsibility from the perpetrator and allows it to be softened. Saying family violence almost sounds like, well, that's just something that happens. Well, that's just, oh, well, that's just, you know, family violence, as though it's its own kind of different category. It shouldn't be taken as seriously, or a crime of passion when men kill their, when men murder their partners because they're jealous or because they're fucking fragile losers. So I just, obviously the family violence terminology is completely incorrect. I think that obviously we all know that Anthony Albanese did not type out those words himself. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he'll come and yell at me and say that I'm a liar. But maybe he'll come in here and go, excuse me. And I'll go, ah, Albo. But I think, so the wording is fucked. But I think when we go into fuck him specifically, we forget to not only fuck him specifically, but fuck the government as a whole. We're forgetting to say fuck you to all of you, including Anthony Albanese. You know what I'm saying? I just think we need to remember that this is actually a much bigger issue than just him tweeting something with the wrong wording. I'm sure every social media post goes through a million different people and checks. It's like when you see like a problematic ad or something, you go, how many people did that go through to get out to the public? The term family violence does not correctly encapsulate or show the level of patriarchy that is involved in this. It should be men's violence, because it's the issue is men, or violence against women, or the murder of women in this country. It's not just family violence. It's fucking ridiculous. So disappointing from Anthony Albanese, but we will see what happens at this cabinet. I'm not really sure what could possibly happen. But isn't it also interesting how everyone, or people say in general, or the way that I personally think anyway, I think this way often. I go, well, you know, it's difficult to enact real tangible change quickly. This is how governments work. We aren't in a dictatorship. This is how we have to respect the process of democracy. That's what I tend to think, because if we say fuck this one person, we forget to say fuck the whole government. But when you think about it, John Howard got rid of those guns so quickly after Port Arthur.
Yeah.
Like when you actually think about what can happen, I think I'm very much, I try to give governments the benefit of the doubt in terms of their swiftness of action, because my fear is that if we have swift action on all fronts, a prime minister could also easily say, and I'm cancelling all consent education. So when we encourage swift action, it actually can be really dangerous. It's, I think, something that I try to keep in mind, that I don't want there to be a prime minister that can, at click of his fingers, change our whole society. I actually don't want that, because most of these prime ministers, as we know, don't actually align with the interests of minorities. Like, we don't want a dictator. I don't actually want... I saw people saying, like, why doesn't he do something today? I'm like, well, what? Like, I actually don't want a prime minister that can suddenly do that. It needs to be in between the talking about a bullshit and then having a dictatorship. That would be really nice.
Or he can just take after some, like, 8 portfolios, you know, just like somebody else did.
Wait, what?
Do you remember when ScoMo, like, took over this portfolios for all these different...
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, my God. I forgot about that. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It's very triggering.
He's such an awful creep, isn't he? Also, this action actually can't happen within a day. This genuinely...
No, that's not how government works. Yeah.
It's also not how people work. We can't just wake up tomorrow and Anthony Albanese, or even if every single leader in this country, if every single person in government and in leadership, even every CEO, if we had every single person who was in charge of people in general tomorrow turn around and go, okay, we're going to make an active stance to prevent violence against women. Unfortunately, it is woven into the fabrics of Australia, and it needs to be much slower and much more at the ground, like educating boys from when they're young, having support networks for women to leave in domestic violence situations, educating boys on how the fuck to deal with their anger, dismantling patriarchy. There's many more things that have to happen. We can't just click our fingers and go, and tomorrow, no man will ever kill a woman again, because unfortunately, we've had a big run up to this. You know, it's always unfortunately been an undercurrent in this country.
You know that argument about Peter Dutton? Oh, at least he's not Peter Dutton. It's like...
Well, at least he's not Peter Dutton.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. Like, you know, yeah, he was supposed to, you know, one of the things that he said before he became prime minister is, together we can make forward equal opportunity for women a national economic and social priority.
Okay, well, look, hasn't done much thus far. Maybe he's been a bit busy. I don't know. Maybe he's had a bit on, a few DJ gigs on or something. But I feel like maybe he's on the decks every weekend. But now is the time for the Labor Party to do something. On Wednesday, I am going to maintain hope. Not because there's any reason for me to be optimistic about this, but because if we don't have hope, then what do we have, Chookies? Nothing. I will say these fucking, this argument of at least not Peter Dutton, that is, first of all, agree. At least not Peter Dutton. I do agree with that. But that argument only really works in a kind of bipartisan place like the US. Because in Australia, we have to vote. What I'm saying is, like, in America, when they say at least he isn't Trump, I completely understand that, like with Biden and Trump happening this year. I understand that. Like, I actually get really worried for Americans and how much they hate Biden right now, because like Biden also has fucked so many things up. But I think they get lost in the weeds a little bit, because it's like you still have to vote for someone. You have to vote for one of the two. It's one of the two. So it literally is the lesser of two evils in the States. Because if you don't vote for Biden and you vote for no one, then Trumpers who are so adamantly pro-Trump will get Donald Trump in. Like, that's my issue with the whole, like, at least he isn't Donald Trump. That makes sense in the States. Here, though, we have to legally vote. So, like, just vote for independents and vote for Greens. So that's a good point, Oscar. Like, here, it's like, okay, yeah, but we still, if we're going to have democracy structure that we have, where we are allowed to have preferential voting, then we literally should be ordering it from least of the evils to the most evils. And maybe Anthony Albanese is the second last evil. Should he be the prime minister if he's number 9 on the evil scale? I don't know. I saw The Imperfects did a podcast about it.
Yeah. Did you listen to that episode?
No, I didn't.
Okay, I did, but okay. Sorry.
Yeah, did you? Okay, yeah, and...
It was really interesting. Like, they were so uncomfortable at the beginning to discuss it, saying, like... You know, I've never committed any violence against women. And like, you know, they kind of were, I really like this externalization of their insecurities, of men not having hurt women, but kind of understanding that there is a need to talk about it. If you haven't hurt a woman, it doesn't mean that you don't talk about this, because it concerns you, not because it's your daughter or your mum or whatever, but because 50% of the population is under this, you know, epidemic, really.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, look... It was great to hear men talk about it, but, you know, the bar is so low.
I was even chatting to some mates of mine. They're straight guys who would say, like, they are so on board, as you should be, just in general, the idea about violence against women. Like, we were just talking about one of our friends who's going through something with her boyfriend. Like, automatically, they were talking about, why is she acting like that? And I said, but it's not about the woman. It's about the man and how he's... making her feel. So there is that lack of education, despite best intentions from some people.
I think it's lack of introspection that men have in general. There's a lack of introspection. There's a lack of, like, hold up, let me think, what's my responsibility in this situation? And I think that's what the good thing with the Imperfects, what they've done. Like, yes, it wasn't completely what to my standards, but it was like, oh, there's men introspecting, thinking, what can we do? And having inner thoughts that they're sharing. And just so many men just don't. They just don't.
Yeah, I think The Imperfects, obviously their audience is really a good little sample of Australian people. They have a very widespread audience, you know? Like, I think, so that, it's good that they did that episode and you just listen to it. Although, do I really need to? Probably know everything they're saying anyway. That's the thing. Yeah. It's also like, the people engaging with this content were like, Yeah, I know. Yeah. And also, that's all like love they did the podcast because they would have probably had listeners who wouldn't have thought about those things who were straight cis men. But I hope that from that conversation being aired, that by all accounts was really good. I saw people DM it to me. I hope that they and their listeners then are able to call men out in person. It's all well and good for these, and I'm not saying the imperfect of this at all, for these like online male feminists to say that they're allies to us and go on and on about how more men need to be involved or that men need to do better if they aren't actually calling out their friends for making sexist jokes. I think as well, the way that a lot of men are positioning it are like, women are scared and that's in its own bubble and that has nothing to do with me because I've never hurt women. I've never done anything to hurt a woman. When in reality, it's like white people saying that we're not racist because we are not actively racist. It's like, yeah, but I'm sure there are things as a white person growing up in Australia, deeply racist country, that I've done that have contributed to racism. Like, that's why when I see or hear something racist at work or in personal situations or even someone say something racist in private to me, I will actively try to call it out because I do see it as my issue in being a part of, as being a white person in a deeply racist country that most likely has enabled those things previously by not speaking about it. That's how I see it. I think that a lot of men see women being scared as a separate thing. And even the way that men tend to comfort women that are upset, they go, don't worry, like, I would never do that to you. And it's like, okay, that's cool that you would never do that to me. I also interact with 45 men a day. I also still get abused personally in my DMs by men daily, get called dehumanizing names. Also, it isn't necessarily just about me. I think cis hetero white men are unable to imagine our empathy extending to everyone else in our group because they've never had to have collective empathy for each other because they're at the pinnacle of privilege. Now, look, I'm pretty close to that pinnacle of privilege as a cis white woman that's dating a man. Like, that's like, I'm not saying that I'm fucking hard done by in this, but women in general right now experience an epidemic of violence. And when men are saying they're doing things on an individual level, like, well, I've never done this and I would never do it to you, and the women in my life are safe, it also adds an element of gaslighting and denying to people, being like, well, like, you're safe now because you're with me, because I'm a good man. There's a big fucking wide world out there that is very scary. So there's this, it's just funny the way that men are able to center themselves constantly. There's a trend on TikTok right now, or in general, something that I've heard. It's what some men's rights activists would call a thought experiment that's backfired very deeply on them. Because at their core, men's rights activists don't understand or don't want to understand or care to understand what women are speaking about. And this question is something they think was a gotcha moment, but it actually backfired. So, Lam, my question to you is, from the men's rights activists, who would you rather be alone, if men are so scary, who would you rather be alone in the woods with? A man or a bear?
Fuck. What kind of bear?
The fact that you've even had to ask the question does make me think that the men's rights activists thought they'd be like, well, obviously a man. If it's a stranger man and it's a bear that is maybe, if I'm on the outskirts of Toronto or something, if I'm in Yosemite.
Yeah.
And it's a bear that maybe I could, that has seen people before, I'd much rather the bear.
A tame bear.
If it's a stranger man, I don't want, or I actually got goosebumps just then thinking about a stranger man near me. But all these men are going on and on about how it's so interesting. They've asked the question, these men's rights activists. Women have responded saying the bear, because the bear can be reliably reasoned with. Like, if you play with certain bears, if you play dead, then you know that you're going to have a certain outcome. Men can be very erratic and you don't know what you're going to get from all men, and all you really can assume is worst case scenario, whereas bears are animals that don't have any societal ideas in their heads. They don't have, they just have their kind of
instincts.
They
can't manipulate as well.
They can't manipulate you. Also, if you got attacked by a bear, people would believe you. They wouldn't ask you what you were wearing. They wouldn't ask you
what
you were
so
doing
true.
To aggravate the bear. They would presume you're doing everything you could to not make the bear angry. A bear, you won't be able to gaslight you in the future. No one would think about the bear's prospects and how many fish the bear could have possibly caught in the future if you didn't ruin the bear's life. you know what I mean? So it's not funny. It is kind of funny. But even with all these responses of all these women stitching the original question or talking about the question in general, all having different reasons why they would rather be alone in the woods with a bear. I mean, me personally wouldn't like to be in the woods full stop. I'm not a camping girly pop. So, so for me, no, I'm not going to, what the fuck?
Like,
it's too hot.
How about if said boyfriend cold? Would say,
no. Oh, does again. Your boyfriend like it? Like camping? No.
Oh, fuck no.
Yeah, okay.
I hope he isn't hiding that from me.
Hiding.
If he's hiding that he likes glamping from me, there's a conversation we need to have.
Glamping. So glamping is the midpoint. Like, you know, he's like, I could imagine he'd be like, yeah, I don't mind. I'm guessing.
Oh my god, that's your straight impression. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. No, listen, I think that if you know what, I think that if I wanted to go glamping, he would organize the best glamping in the world for me. But I also believe that if I said I don't really think that I feel like glamping, he would not even bring it up ever again.
Yeah.
My king. First of all, wouldn't like to be in the woods. But it's interesting. Then these men think they're quote-unquote clapping back. The other thing about these men's rights activists is that they aren't very bright. So it's like very – they're not very good at like debating and they haven't thought through their ideas fully. So women are saying we would rather be in the woods with a man and with a bear. And instead of believing that and going, oh – I wonder what it is about men in general that makes women more scared of us than bears. And thinking, you know what, that wasn't the answer that I was expecting. So is there anything that I can do to self-reflect and think maybe I was wrong in my assumption of how dangerous men are to women? Instead of that, they're coming back and saying, no, you're wrong. You actually would rather be with a man than a bear. Like, there are so many men berating women online saying, you're actually fucking wrong. And what you actually would rather is be with me than a bear. And it's like, okay, dude, thanks for proving our point, you fucking weirdo. And I also saw someone else do a quote unquote thought experiment. Okay, these fucking men. I need to go into them more. I need to do like a whole episode on men's rights activists' thought experiments because they're so funny. Like, it's very scary and awful, but they're just so easy to poke holes through. Another one was I saw someone say, well, you know, if all of the men disappeared from the earth tomorrow, society wouldn't function. And this woman is talking back and she goes, yeah, but it actually wouldn't. He was saying, no, it's because all the men are in the really important industries like electricians and the army and the police. They're mainly male dominated. And it's like, first of all, Chucky, they're male dominated because men won't allow us in there and there aren't safe spaces for women in these environments. So women choose to not be in it. Like, the major deterrent for a lot of these fields is the sexism you would experience if you were to become like a Sparky or if you were to go to the army, the danger that you would be in. But this person that was getting interviewed is so iconic, or whoever was, it's like an audio that I've seen. I haven't actually seen the interview, but this woman responds and she goes, yeah, but like there was a period of time where all the men went away and the women just did all the jobs that you guys did. And we learned them really quickly. And yeah, World War II, Chook. Have you heard of World War II, Chookies?
Oh, yes.
Have you heard of World War II? There's a whole show on SBS called While the Men Are Away. But women just, not all the men went. It's like, yeah, but all that was left was kids and elderly men or men that couldn't serve and women. And women learned how to do everything, ran the factories, ran society. And it isn't really, this woman also said, it isn't really a valid thought experiment. In you saying that, women couldn't handle if all the men disappeared. So we couldn't restructure society in one day. Wow, that means we need men. No, Chucky. Imagine if all the women left. Men would be fucked. and be fucked. They can't even figure out like which clothes to put on a cold cycle sometimes. You know what I mean? It's like these men are fucked. Anyway, I do want to go into those thought experiments more, but I guess the bear metaphor is just useful in the situation and showing how dangerous men really are. And it again is men gaslighting us. That happens all the time. When we tell men how scared we are, all they want to do is defend that men actually aren't that scary. And it's so rare that even for a moment, there's even a question as to why you feel that way. Yes, Lem?
I had my hands up.
Yeah, I did.
I did feel like that. I was going to say, can we tell people to send their thought experiments and that way we can actually have like a, yeah.
Guys, if you've seen any of those weird thought experiments by men's rights activists, whether it's like, or even like anti-abortion people, if you see any of these really weird, ridiculous, hypothetical thought experiments, DM them to me or send them to Hello It's a Lot podcast. I'll go into them deeper because I'd love to go into the man and bear thing and also into the whole if men disappeared from society. Come on, Chucky. Come on. God. It's also funny because like the men that get in your comments saying not all men or that deny that you'd rather be in the woods with a bear. It's kind of like if you see a post from your friend. Say if they post a meme to their story or TikTok to their story and it's about like someone being a bad friend or someone being bitchy or something, you only get offended by that if you see yourself in that. So if I post about men being violent, if you actually aren't violent and you've consistently called out men in your life since birth from being problematic and you do the work you're meant to do, why are you getting upset, Chucky? Why are you getting upset? People like Tarang Chawla isn't in my comments, is he? Because he is doing the work. He isn't going, not all men, is he? Because he is doing what he needs to do. My king, Tarang. But it's like actual men that are doing the work and aren't being violent towards women aren't the ones commenting this shit. That's all I'm saying. If you're getting that defensive, calm the fuck down, Chucky.
Also,
anyway,
can I give just one little tip with the bear thing? Because I don't know if you know, I worked in a ski resort in Canada.
Yes!
They actually gave, I had to do bear training, and this is not a joke. So you have to watch a video. And they
bear
said,
training, more black, like otter, yeah.
Is that from something, or did you just come up with that?
I just made it up. You being like it. Just gay culture.
So they said that if it's a black bear, they're not so dangerous. What you're supposed to do is when you see them, put your hands up in the air, and you're supposed to go, "Whoa, bear! Whoa, bear!
whoa, bear!
And then they scurry away.
If you can only do like that with men. Yeah.
I know.
But if it's another bear, then you're fucked. It's just the black bears.
Okay, so, well, that's good to know. See, guys, survival tips. See who's doing the work? Oscar. Oscar's doing the work. Oscar is helping us because also it's so funny because he's many getting so upset. It's like, it's a hypothetical you created. You created the hypothetical. Why are you angry at us for our answer? You asked a question, obviously in bad faith. And now we have bear survival tools from Oscar and you're angry about it. Sorry that we've been educated by Oscar. Whoa, bear.
Whoa,
I'm actually going to Yosemite soon, so I guess maybe, I'll be alone I'll be alone with a man in Yosemite.
Ah, you can give us the proper experience.
All right, well, everyone, let's see what happens on Wednesday. We'll come back with the next solo episode. Next week is a guest episode, but the week after we'll see what's happened in the cabinet. I want to have hope still, maintain hope. I think on the weekend it really showed how strong women are and how strong this movement is and how fed up women are. And I think that showed to our Prime Minister and to our politicians as well. Whether that will change anything, I don't know. But I guess what I'm saying is know that we have done the most we can do thus far. Now it's up to the government and we'll see what they fucking do. All right? Yay, time will tell. All right, well, au revoir.
Listener Production.